Back after this, hour three, the 45-minute version of hour three when we come back.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com. Nominate now for Penn National's biggest day of the season, the $400,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile and the $150,000 Penn Oaks will both run Friday, June 2nd on a card that also includes four Pennsylvania bred stakes, each with a $100,000 purse. Call the racing office at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, 800-233-8238. That's 800-233-8238.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You showed me how to do exactly what you do, how I fell in love with you. You walk into a room and people fall for you, how I wanna be like you.
We're back and about 15, 18 into the third hour. And thanks to John White for our first look at four-pack of Derby hopefuls. They're hopeful. They continue to be hopeful as FanDuel Racing, Fairmont Park, formerly, continues to evolve and develop. And when we talked last time to Jim Watkins, things were, you know, pointed in the right direction, Jim. And here we are again. Happy opening day.
Oh, thank you very much. We're excited about our 98th season here in Collinsville, Illinois at FanDuel Sportsbook and Horse Racing. And appreciate being on your show, Steve.
Not at all, Jim. I wanted to make sure, and of course, it's opening day at Indiana as well. But when Hawthorne opened, some people, you know, looked at what felt like an unusual schedule. And I made the point that on Twitter that it was set up to be integrated with with you guys, and so that, you know, Illinois outfits would have, you know, no, there wouldn't be days where you were both running and you know, essentially stretching outfits out and making things difficult. This way, everybody, you know, everybody's got their own days to be the showcase racetrack in Illinois.
And we sure did. We worked that out in cooperation with the Chicago Horsemen and Hawthorne Race Course. And we just felt it was healthy to not compete on the same days, be able to share horses, stables, and jockeys. And we think it's going to help us get through this year.
Talk about the schedule first and give everybody kind of the calendar, the events, and what to look forward to. And then we'll talk some things, condition book and purse account and so forth, and how things are developing.
Well, excellent. As you know, Stephen, from our prior interviews, I'm a glass half full guy. I'm an optimistic and positive. We think our future is really bright here, and we've made some changes in our race schedule. We're going to go stay at 2 days a week and lengthen the meet. So when Hawthorne ends on Labor Day, we're going to continue at the two-day rate through November 18th. So wow. April 18th through November 18th, 62 days total schedule.
Excellent. And, you know, the integrated, the days of the week, the way it's going to, I'm pulling up the calendar actually now as we speak. There we go.
Yeah, we're staying to our, you know, our strong days, Tuesday and Saturday evenings, gotcha. Tuesday afternoons, and our, you know, our horse hooky day, as we say, on Tuesday afternoons. And Hawthorne is Thursday and Sunday, and they'll pick up Wednesdays in the summer. So, you know, there's no direct conflict. We do share some of the same horse pool, but we think we can get through it. We're going to have nearly 600 horses here, and they're going to have a few hundred more than that up at Hawthorne. So we think we have the horsepower to make it through the five-day-a-week schedule that'll be here in Illinois through Labor Day.
How much, and I mean, this is obviously a fluid situation, but when it comes to let's fold the condition book in and talk about Illinois breds and the opportunities on that front, because you know, so many families and you know, well-known farms have I don't want to say abandoned the prospect, but I mean, how many mares were bred last year? How many foals do they expect for the Illinois?
Well,
breds?
we're barely over 100 wow. live foals, and that'll be about the same this year, roughly 125. And at one time, we were foaling nearly 2,000 foals every year annually. So certainly, you know, there's been a significant decline there. We know that the breeding program is the backbone and foundation of any state's racing program. That's going to have to be rebuilt along with the actual racing programs as we move forward. And I mean, we've taken some positive steps here. Our race dates in 3 years have gone roughly a third increase, gone from 45 to 62 days scheduled for this year. We had another purse increase, although slight for this year. It's the third year in a row we have had a purse increase, about 30% higher in purses. And of course, when you put money into the pockets of owners, they'll reinvest, and breeders, they'll breed more. So we think we're getting into a healthier dollar amount. Our purse account is healthy. It's not in abundance, the funds, but we have a healthy purse account. Good solid entries the first 2 days. And I'll give you an example. The one horse I have in today in the seventh and final race here at FanDuel, it's an optional entry level allowance race, optional 5,000 claiming, and the purse is, base purse is 14,000, and we have a starter bonus should eight horses, there's nine carded right now, should eight make it to the paddock, a $2,500 starter bonus will kick in. So that reflects a 16.5 purse for an optional five claimer. So that's a pretty nice purse for that spot.
What is the daily purse distribution expected to be?
Approximately 70,000, of course, depending on what races are used, what level races have the you know, the interest there, but roughly 70,000 a day.
And I just, you know, looking at today's card, you mentioned the seventh. There's also the fifth, which is a maiden for filly and mare Illinois breds, three and ups. Our maidens are running for 22,000.
Yeah, the Illinois Maidens, and we're fortunate to be getting a nice revenue source from the Department of Agriculture here in Illinois. It's called our 708-709 money, which is earmarked for Illinois breds and Illinois breds who win open races for $10,000 claiming or above. And that money is used to bolster those purses, and we really like the idea. We're hopeful to get that money again in the next fiscal year and continue to show purses for Illinois breds at that level.
Well, I'm looking further up the card, $24,000 in that Illinois bred allowance third race.
Mm-hmm. We're getting there. We're heading in the right trajectory, so to speak.
Well, that's great. Field size, six. This is a seven race card today. 6x7x7x6x10x7x9. So averaging about seven a race, mm-hmm. 7.5 maybe. What'd you average last year? Do you have that number at hand?
A lot less than that, especially when we went 3 days. We were right around the 5.5 to 6 horses
wow.
per race. And if my math is correct, I'm no Nostradamus, but it's nearly 7.8 is what I come up with for our first two entry days. And that would be a nice, healthy number. Of course, with more betting interest, you have higher handle, you have more money going in the purse account. It's a simple formula, just a matter of getting the material there to get it done.
We'll come back to horsemen and the jockey colony and even the betting menu in a minute. But Jim Watkins with us, the HBPA at Fairmount. And Jim, give everybody an update about the facility and the building. And I confess that I have not kept up since the end of last year.
Well, as you know, we had a casino gaming bill passed in June of 2019, and we've been, can we say, waiting patiently,
yeah.
And in some cases, not so patiently. Things have moved at a pedestrian rate with the casino, but we really see some significant movement over the past few months. FanDuel ownership here has employed an architect who is currently working on plans, conceptual drawings, and making changes to those. A consultant who happens to be a personal friend of mine was hired to oversee construction and casino startup. He's a former general manager of a local casino here. And they just, within the last 2 weeks, hired a construction company. So we're hoping there's a shovel in the ground by the end of the summer and a completion date of this casino here sometime in 2024. Probably late summer, early fall. The current plans call for the casino to be built within the existing structure, and some 900 positions overall, a full blown casino, and we really think it's a reality. We know it to be a reality now. It's just a matter of time.
Do we know how that will impact the purse accounts and? What that'll do for you guys in terms of what you're able to offer in a condition book?
Yeah, I mean, we've looked at feasibility studies. I've gone through several of those, and we basically think that we have a very great location. We're at the confluence of three interstates in a nice neighborhood of Collinsville, Illinois, in the shadow of the Arch, and we really think the numbers are going to be strong. And basically, if the numbers pan out the way we think they will, we're looking at a 3 to 4 times increase. So, with that money, do we race more and increase purses more? So somewhere, if you're looking at a $15,000 purse, we're going to have quite a bit more money. That might be a $25,000 purse. But overall funds, with the increase of days, increase of money, we're just very optimistic of the future.
Oh, that's tremendous. All right. And especially, given the situation upstate and Hawthorne, well on its way to being, to being also, reborn, essentially, it does provide at least a foundation, Jim, for, those that want to race in Illinois, want to breed Illinois breds. I mean, it sounds as if the state supports you know, supports the program and will be helpful. Springfield is on board.
Without question, and we're appreciative of you know, the legislators that have helped, and of course the directors such as Jerry Costello, our director of the Department of Ag, has been so supportive of horse racing in Illinois, and it shows a little bit, so it shows a lot of it actually. So you know, we are very happy with the support we're giving. We're hoping to see our chairman of the Illinois Racing Board here today at the races. He's one of our biggest fans, and he's planning on attending. And the Illinois Racing Board has been very supportive of our race program also.
The IRB.
Steve, I don't want to leave anybody out. I don't want to leave the management and ownership out here.
Sure.
There's a lot of little projects going on. The management has worked very closely with the horsemen. They've got some serious projects going on our backside, not just the fresh paint and the, you know, cleaning up of a few things, but there's currently probably within 30 to 45 days a $500,000 renovation of our kitchen, which will also house the HBPA offices where I'll be at as president, and the medical offices for our dentist and doctor. So it's really coming together. Looks great. Two barns have recently been demolished, and the track is in the process of developing a strategic long-term plan for improving the barn area, adding barns, and improving the infrastructure of the barn area. So we're pleased with the commitment that's being shown by ownership and management, and support from, like I said, the state of Illinois, including the Illinois Racing Board. But I must also mention, for those horsemen that have stayed behind and stayed the course and showed very great resolve in continuing to race here in Illinois, and we're appreciative of those horsemen, too.
That's terrific, Jim. Jim Watkins with us, and wanted to make sure that Fairmont, FanDuel Racing, got their opening day attention. In terms of some of the, you know, the horsemen, the outfits, seems like, you know, the most familiar names are all lining up. Any significant changes that we should know about? I mean, Scott Becker, obviously, and Ralph Martinez, and you.
Well, thank you. You know, I've always contended, Steve, that there are just some quality stables, quality trainers,
yeah,
that have always been here. And you mentioned Scott Becker, Ralph Martinez. There's several more. Steve Manley.
Harry Lynch.
These trainers go. Harry Lynch had a solid year last year. There's just so many. It's not easy to win a race down here. You better be doing your homework, and you better be working hard, or you're not going to win a race. We have some very capable horsemen who are good businessmen and run exceptionally efficient stables and successful stables.
Any new faces? Any jockey colony notes? I don't see any. Do I see a bug boy? I see one bug boy. Giles.
Yes, Emmanuel Giles, Manny Giles. He got up to a really good start in 2021 and was injured in a spill at Hawthorne. I believe it was in December of 2021. So he sat out the 2022 campaign, and he's winning quite a few races up north, and he's going to ride, you know, on the off Hawthorne days down here. So we're glad to have him, and he's a talented young rider.
I saw him win a race at Hawthorne, and I tweeted about it. He had to. I should go look this up. He had a horse that was just begging to lug in, and he did a masterful job trying to keep the horse straight and not interfere with the horse inside of him, and the inquiry light went up, and I
was going to say, I remember the race. He survived the objection and the inquiry, and he did a masterful job. Absolutely, I recall the race, not specifically, but I was at Hawthorne that day.
I was really impressed that, you know, because I went and looked, and I said, oh my God, this is a 7-pound bug, and that Manny Giles. All right. There's one to keep an eye on. It feels like everything is in place for another positive season. St. Louis Derby, August
26th. And that's always a nice you know, nice night for us, a nice lead up to it with some big name horses and trainers here. The trainers we mentioned earlier usually don't have anything in there, but we benefit from the exposure, and we're glad to put on a big race like that. And FanDuel does put up the money for that, and we're appreciative of that and the exposure that it brings to our racing program here.
It was a quarter of a million last year.
Sure, yes.
And Kenny McPeak, I know, I remember McPeak won it. I'm going to forget with who, but I know McPeak went into town and the reborn St. Louis Derby listed for now. But that would be a nice thing to build the St. Louis Derby back up into a graded stake.
Without question, Steve. I failed to mention also that we will be hosting the two Illinois-bred two-year-old stakes races. We haven't set a date for those two races yet. Late October, early November, we want to push it back as late as we can. Hawthorne obviously has hosted the Jim Edgar and the Pat Whitworth
sure.
stakes for two-year-olds, and because of their early ending in the calendar year 2023, we're going to host those two stakes races, and it's been a while since we've been able to even have a stakes program here due to our predicament. We're looking forward to that as well. Gosh, I hope to have one at each spot. We'll see.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, how are you looking with your strength?
Well, we're off to an excellent start. We've got 8 wins and 7 seconds, 15 out of 31, top 2 finishes. I'm proud of the horses, my team, and you got to be careful to stop and pat yourself on the back because you'll get passed up in a hurry. These other horsemen are working hard and stuff, but we are off to a solid start, and we're expecting a good meet. I have 20 stable here looking to acquire a few more, and I do have a small string up at Hawthorne that I base up there, and I'll do some swapping and rotating, but I'm looking forward to a successful meet at both.
Outstanding. Well, I saw you running at Turfway this winter too.
Yeah, and we did have a competitive meet there. That's not easy. Boy, it's an awful lot of money, and there's an awful lot of competition there. But we held our own. I think we won 4 out of maybe 21 over there. So I'm looking forward to going back there and maybe doing a better job of being locked and loaded at the start of the meet as opposed to going there and trying to acquire horses. So that's kind of my goal for Turfway next year.
Well, you're certainly positioned nicely, and I happen to notice because of Horseshoe Indianapolis, I saw you got one in there tomorrow.
Half horses will travel, Steve.
There you go, Wild Fox tomorrow in the 5th. All right, tell us about. Let's get a winner from you, Jim. How about 8 May? You've got a VE day gelding. A 4-year-old making a second start. What do we know? With Manny Giles.
Well, you got that right. I have very high expectations for 8 May. He had a little problem with his shins last year, so I gave him the needed time because I felt so highly of his potential. And then he had a little bit of an ankle issue last fall at Hawthorne, and I just refused to push him. And we've saved him for this spot, and he may need one, both for fitness and experience, but we believe he's going to be a really very nice horse.
Bred by Cynthia Rush and you.
We're quite excited. Cynthia is my girlfriend, and we have 3 homebreds in Saturday here at FanDuel, so we're quite excited about that, Cynthia and I are.
So, and you run them under Offspring Farm?
Yes, correct.
There you go. Well, so now everybody that's that looks, you'll see Offspring and Jim, and because you're well entered this week in between Indy and Hawthorne and FanDuel.
Yeah, we're campaigning, as they say.
There you go.
we're certainly campaigning.
All right. Well, you got to make like Steve Asmussen and give everybody the lock of the week coming out of the barn.
Well, I'm going to give you Cindy's G-Man, the one homebred that we have. He just won his last out at Hawthorne, and he was second before that. And he's at a nice distance for him on Saturday night. I believe he's in the 6th race.
Yeah.
And we think we're going to get a picture taken with Cindy's G-Man.
Well, and I'm gonna root because it happens to be out of a dam by a horse I just adored, Purim. And in fact, Nathan Fox himself bred my little darlings. Look at that, and and you—that was a nice mare you campaigned.
She was very nice, and I actually bought her off Scotty Becker, ran her for a couple of years, and we liked her enough to invest in the breeding end of it with her.
Wow!
And we're also pleased we have a half sister by Cinco Charlie out of My Little Darlings that we really are high on. Early, she's here with us at FanDuel and getting some experience and training very well. Pointing her for the Pat Whitworth next fall.
Oh, so you weren't kidding when you said you hope to have a horse for both of those stakes.
Yes, hopefully so.
A long way off.
A lot of work to take place, but we certainly hope so.
Well, because we got a pretty savvy bunch, I'll tell everybody the name of that filly. Too Much Tuesday is the Cinco Charlie, and that's the 2-year-old you're looking for Jim Watkins down the road. Jim, best of luck to everybody down in Collinsville. I hope it's a tremendous meet to you and all the horsemen, all the riders, the owners, and the players. The menu looks attractive. You got to pick five to end the card. Pick four. Pick four to end the card. The pick five. Actually, you got that. What are you? I thought I saw a pick five, but it looks like. Oh, it's a pick seven.
Yeah, I'm not
it's
sure.
It's a jackpot.
You're
not
one,
a better.
Steve.
It's a jackpot. I can tell. It's a 20 cent, so that's a jackpot. So we'll direct people. We'll send people to the late pick four. Tell management to switch that from a jackpot to a early pick five.
You got it.
All right,
Steve, we can't tell you how much we appreciate the recognition and the exposure you give our program here, and if any of your listeners have the time, tune in to FanDuel Sportsbook and Horse Racing. It's pretty good quality racing.
Well, my pleasure, and at some point we got to get to you and spend a day. Jim Watkins, everybody, Illinois HBPA, but one of the top barns, actually from Cicero down to Collinsville with a swing over to Florence and Shelbyville, everywhere you look. Thanks, Jim.
Sounds great. Steve, thank you.
Not at all. Jim Watkins, everybody, and the opening day at FanDuel / I Fairmont, you got to keep using the Fairmont name, right? You can't just walk away from Fairmont. And it's about 98 years old. 98 years. So actually, it sounds like for their 100th, they'll be in full swing. They'll have that facility, and they'll be, completely up and running. All right, we've up and run all the way to what? We got about 15. Perfect. Let me reach for Popo, and I want him to basically give you the AmWager approach when it comes to betting tools. And we haven't it's been a while. I mean, we've discussed them before, but in light of what came up, particularly yesterday, with Joe Applebaum, I want to go through the exercise of letting the platforms talk about what they can do, what tools they can put in your hands. And Papo Morales joins us from not just Form to Win, but AmWager. And Papo, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
I don't know. Based on our exchange, I don't think you had a chance to hear Joe's conversation, but you know what we've been talking about when it comes to the CAW, the powerhouse programs that the groups essentially are holding sway. For those of us that are rank and file horse players, from very active and serious about the game to even more casual, what options are available at AmWager that gives us, some chance at having an edge?
Yeah, see, there's a couple of different options that we we have an AM wager. Something to keep in mind is when we first started, well, AM wager, we started in 2007. I came on board in 2012, and up until 2014 into 2015, we were strictly high volume. So we were in ADW for high volume players. And then in 2015, we basically just opened it up to everybody. So some of the tools and functions that were built specifically for high volume players are available to anybody that signs up. And some of those include, you know, I talked about before the true odds, which give you a better idea of what the odds are going to be at post time, and how we calculate those are we look at the double pools, the exacta pools, and the win pools. And so we have a variant. We use those in different strengths. And so we get what we call true odds, and we have those right next to the actual win odds for every horse. So that gives you a better idea of where the horse is going to be come post time, because I know that a lot of people look at the double pools, and that's a good idea of where the final odds are going to end up. So we show that graphically to you. We also have what we call a win table, which shows we have green arrows going down when a horse is taking money and red arrows going up when they're not taking money, and that's by a percentage of total pool. So when the pool's open, you know, typically 25, 30 minutes before each race, we're checking in 1 minute increments, and then as we get closer to post time, so 10 minutes out, we start checking every 30 seconds. And then up until 2 and 3 minutes, we're checking as often as totes sends those updates to us, because we're constantly pinging the tote system so that we have a better idea where the odds are going to be. So you can get an idea of, like, just looking at, I usually look at the last four cycles, so you can start to see horses start to take money as we come closer to post time. So if you see green arrow, green arrow, green arrow, green arrow for all four cycles, you know that horse is basically going to go off at a shorter price than what it's currently showing on the win odd. So that's just an easy tool that you can use and look at when you're trying to determine what a horse is going off at. We also have what we call conditional wagering. So for a retail player, there's two ways that you can do that. On the wager pad, there's a button that says add a condition. So you pick your horse, you know, and we have conditional wager on the win pool, exacta, and double. So you would pick the horse that you want, the odds that you're looking for, and at what, how many minutes to post you want to start checking. Because, like, I've seen other systems that have a conditional service as well. Those typically only check once. So if the condition is met at, you know, 8 minutes before the race goes off, your bet will go in. However, ours, we continually check up until post time. So we obviously you want that condition to be met right before post time. You can do that by setting it at a minutes to post increment. So, you know, back in the day when Gulfstream had that lag in post time, I mean, I had mine set at -7, basically 7 minutes after the post time, my condition would be checked. And then as long as the race wasn't closed, my wager would go in. So that's the simplest way to do it. I mean, that's fairly easy. It's all built into the wager.
Wow. Let's take these. Let me interject a couple questions. And on that topic, what percentage of users take advantage of that, out of curiosity? Do we know that number?
Yeah, it's a good question, Steve. So here's the answer to that. A small percentage, but the percentage that use it, it's a large percentage of our overall handle.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's several people. You know, obviously, I don't want to give out names.
Sure.
But high-volume guys, people that you've had on your show, they use it. I mean, if you're a guy that has a full-time job, it's very hard for you to, and I know some companies actually block, they can't access the, you know, AmWager or any ADW from their office because of their VPN networks. So they do conditioning, they set their files, basically send their files first thing in the morning. So, you know, they create, you know, every guy, especially the high volume guys, they have their fair value line. So they're saying, oh, I'll bet the horse's morning line is 6-1, and they say the fair value line on the horse is 4-1. Well, they just will go in there and set their conditional wager to check, you know, at 1 minute to post or 0 minutes to post. If the horse is 4-1, the bet's going to go in. So these are guys that don't have to sit at their computer all day long, especially when they're working, to place their wagers. They have an idea on the horse that they want to bet, given, you know, whatever they think their fair value line is. They set that condition, and then the system automatically checks for you. So, you know, the difference is it's ease of use, and, you know, some of these guys can't sit in front of their phone or or their computer all day. Right. They know what they want to bet, given the conditions, and so they set that wager up.
That's amazing. And, I mean, I personally, I know it's there, and I know, it's available, and it's available at several platforms, but it's just interesting that it's not more widely used, and yet it as you indicate, those that use it are the serious players. I mean, so that's a hint in itself, and frankly, that feels like an offering that could really mitigate some of the frustration that people are experiencing.
Yeah, Steve, I mean, I get the frustration. I get emails from players all the time talking about, well, they like the horse, 5 minutes to go to the post at 5-1 and then it gets hammered. And I ask them, well, did you look at the exact or the double pool to get an idea? And they're like, oh, no, I didn't do it. So, I mean, what I try to point them to is just look at the fair odds or true odds on Amwager. It gives you a better idea. It's pretty darn close. We used to factor in the pick pool too, the pick three, but those numbers were causing the variance to be greater than it was statistically showing at post time. So we took the pick bets out. So it's just taking into account the double pool and a portion of the exacta pool, because that data, it's all recorded and it's shared by the tote system. I know there are some tote systems that have try information, but those are very limited. So right now, just the exacta payouts and the doubles is what we factor in.
Well, and that is we were supposed to by now domestically have what they call in South America the veils, the try information, right? That we could have that on a wider basis at this point.
Steve, it's available. The issue is we have. We have tow companies that are competing services, and they don't want to turn it on for the others. So until we can work together as an industry, which is across the board on many fronts, the data is there. It's just about the tow systems turning it on. We've had it at some racetracks, and then they were not, the host tow was different than our ADW's tow. So it's like anything in life, so you've got to try to work together on some of these things instead of pulling our hair out and not coming to any sort of resolution.
What do you have a way to measure the accuracy of true odds? I mean, how close and reliable has it been from your habit and practice?
It's pretty darn good, Steve. There are some variables sometimes because you can't take into account some of those fluctuations when the late money's coming in at that last cycle. I mean, we're definitely better than the given win pool totals that everyone's seeing. The true odds are much better than that. I mean, sometimes if a horse gets hammered at the last cycle, it's going to drop below, the horse is, 8-5 and then goes down to 4-5 or something. But it's pretty darn accurate. But I will say this. I know players that bet and just follow the money, Steve. And so by following that win chart, and actually on Form to Win, we've got the same thing. We're tracking the cycle, so you can see it. You can see horses start to drop. It's shown on a chart. It's like a line, like a bar graph. And you can see horses start to drop for 3 to 4 minutes. So you can almost anticipate it coming. And I know guys that just bet, they just look at the cycles. They see the green arrow, green arrow, green arrow. And then they go, well, that horse is going to go off, or that's the most likely winner, so that's where I'm going to put my money. So there's different, different ways of using that information.
Let's round out the MAM wager. We're talking about the topic that Joe Applebaum yesterday essentially, raised with us about putting tools in the hands of the everyday horse player, the individual that's out there and doesn't have the edge that the teams have when it comes to putting in stacking wagers essentially and getting them in as best they can on a manual basis. What what can we do, and explain what you've got on that front, Papo?
Yeah, we basically call it stacking wagers. So you go in there and you do your bets, whether it's win, exact is. I mean, it comes in handy if you're dutching and you're playing multiple combinations with the exact wagers, but you can stack the wager, which basically means the wager just sits until you want to submit one all or just a portion of those wagers. I guess, Steve, though, is like how many wagers, like if you know you're going to bet a horse to win, I don't really see the purpose in stacking it. I would say for exact is you may want to, because you can also check the what the potential payouts are going to be. And a good reminder, Steve, for in-wager people is because people aren't using this function enough, because I see the analytics, the dutching tool that we have built in where you can take a combination of multiple horses, tell the system how much money you want to spend, and it basically, based on their current odds, it disseminates the dollar amounts based off what their current odds are. And I see people always boxing, and I'm like, just dutch, right? Even if you're doing the same combination, just click the dutch button. It'll improve your ROI when you hit. And it's just not – the analytics show that it's not used as much as it should be. And I think that may be an education thing. Speaking as an industry, got to do a better job of educating people. You know, when I talk to the players, I try to remind them of these tools that we have built into the platform. You know, it's there for them to use. When they're right, it'll improve their ROI.
Excellent. I'm glad you reminded about the dutching. We talked about that last year at some point. It's sort of a forgotten approach.
Yeah, Steven, you can use that also on the double pools as well, and it shows you what your potential payouts are going to be. So you have a good idea. If you click, you know, several combinations, you get an idea of what your payouts are going to be. Like, we calculate it for you, so it's right there on the screen so that you can see. And sometimes you'll be like, it's not worth the risk, and you don't have to put the bet in. So it does give you a better idea of what your winnings will be when you have the right combination come through.
Well, obviously there's a certain percentage of sophisticated players that know a lot of this, but there's also those that are feeling their way and Papo and learning the game, and so these kinds of conversations go a long way. And in fact, we're going to end up short on time, but next conversation I want you to maybe talk about the rebate opportunities for Amwager players as well, because I say it all the time. Players, and Jerry Brown made this point brilliantly a couple of years ago when he created his program, that Thoroughgraph Player Services, that players of every size, there are bonuses available, and no matter how casual a better you are. And so we want to make sure people are aware that they're getting everything they can, the tools and the support to win and do well.
Yeah, speaking of bonuses, Steve, just a reminder, we've got the Hong Kong bonus going for when they're running, which is up to $200, on exotic wagers. So exact pick threes, you hit it, you can get up to a $200 reward.
Bang.
We've had a couple players take advantage of that, and we would encourage more people to do that. We're trying to drive some handle to Hong Kong. And then also, Steve, tonight's the fundraising event for the Backside Learning Center.
Oh, that's right.
So it is sold out, which is great. So, I'll be there checking people in and talking to people and making them aware. And then they have a great group of people that are going to be talking about Derby horses. So it should be a great night. And I encourage everybody that's signed up and coming. We look forward to seeing you.
Outstanding. Papo, enjoy it, and we will talk soon.
Yeah, sounds great, Steve. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks so much for this. Papo Morales, Amwager, and Form to Win. Let's send you out into the race day. Things picking up a little bit with these two openings at Indiana Horseshoe, Indianapolis, and FanDuel Fairmont, Collinsville, Southern Illinois. Thanks to Nick Tamaro and Arno Delacour, Jim White, Jim Watkins, and John Weiss. I got JW. I conflated them. And Papo, back tomorrow, Wednesday, and there is Hong Kong. So there you go. Sid, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale. Hong Kong, Seth Merrow. We're going to have four horses from Seth, Derby horses, as we go through them this week and get you acclimated so that we can hit the ground running from Louisville on Monday. Thanks, everybody. Replay 6 to 9 here on SiriusXM. Archive, podcast, etc. later this afternoon or early evening. And I will talk to you in the morning.
You have to go killing all of these.
The latest racing news.
It's At The Races with Steve Beck on SiriusXM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support...